the Lord. Amen. All right, in Matthew 25, and I will give you my title. It is, Out of the Kingdom of Heaven Come the Body of Christ. Out of the Kingdom of Heaven comes the Body of Christ. Amen. Now, that may sound strange, since some of you think the Kingdom of Heaven is the Body of Christ. That is not so. The Kingdom of Heaven is a period of time. Amen. The Kingdom of Heaven is not even the Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of God is within you, the Holy Ghost. But the Kingdom of Heaven is a period of time. And this period of time was recorded by all the Gospels. Amen. And especially in Matthew 13, we're going to refer to one parable there in just a little while. Amen. And want you to see this. Now, we are dealing with an entirely different thing than what the church ages was. Entirely different. Amen. The church ages, it was the Kingdom of Heaven. And Jesus referred to parable after parable, saying, so shall it be in the Kingdom of Heaven. Amen. But we want to look at the Kingdom of Heaven and then see that those things that were in the Kingdom of Heaven will never be in the body of Christ. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Those things that are in the Kingdom of Heaven will never be in the body of Christ. Now, before the bride leaves, we're going to see strange things taking place. The hour of separation has undoubtedly come upon us, when God will separate a people unto Himself to be made pure by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we're in that hour now. Amen. And all those that will live for Christ, amen, must separate themselves unto the Lord for the plan of God. Now, we're going to refer, and you won't get all the message out of Matthew 25. But I'm merely reading Matthew 25, and it goes in conjunction with Revelation 5. Revelation 5, it shows a transaction taking place in heaven where a book is taken from the hand of one that's on the throne, which we will deal with towards the latter part of the message. But I want to give you that so that your mind won't be so fuzzy that you don't know, or I don't mean to imply that you're not intelligent. That's not what I'm saying. The fact is, I believe you're very intelligent. But just showing you where we are going so that you can be placing the Scripture in your own mind, in your own thoughts, so that it won't sound like I'm going in circles. Amen. Because out of the Kingdom of Heaven comes the body of Christ. Even the title itself, amen, it would make you think that it's something strange. Well, amen, it's strange to the world, the Kingdom of God. Now, shall we read the Scripture? Then shall the Kingdom of Heaven be like unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slept and slumbered. Or slumbered and slept, rather. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. Then all the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and one of them heard the cry. And I am not preaching this for the argument of what the foolish virgins are, or what the wise are in that sense, but merely to show a time in the age where there will be separation. There never was a time like it, but the Bible says, then shall the Kingdom of Heaven. And that Kingdom of Heaven, that then is now. So it would not be changing the Scripture to say, now is the Kingdom of Heaven like this. Because that then that Jesus was speaking about has become now in this last day. As God is doing a work. Amen. A strange work indeed. The Bible says he'll work a work in this day, though it would be declared unto men, they would not believe it. Amen. There's strange things taking place in God, but we'll read further here to show the separation. And the foolish, this is verse 8, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came the other virgin also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Amen. I feel that's sufficient scripture to read here on this, and I am not going to deal lengthy with Matthew 25. Amen. I am not going to deal lengthy with and go into the foolish virgins. Amen. But I am reading this merely to show that at the end time there is definitely to be a time when all the churches will get a inward feeling that the end of the age is upon us, and they'll begin to get their mind to turn towards the bridegroom. There isn't a church organization our denomination today that has any fundamental doctrine and belief in the Bible that will not tell you that the end of the age is here, the coming of the Lord's at hand. Amen. But the separation here is determined not whether they heard a voice or not, not whether they were stirred or not, not whether they got up and did something or not, but the separation came and it is determined by whether they had oil in their vessels or not. Amen. Now, as we want to refer to Matthew 13, and there are 7 parables in Matthew 13, and we will not deal with the first 6. The first 6 parables coincide with the first 6 church ages. The 7th one coincides with the 7th church age. And if we went back to the first of it, we would find that there was seed sown in the first age, pure seed, but the enemy came in and sowed bad seed. And the Bible says this is the way the kingdom of heaven is. And it was commanded the servants when they asked, should we separate the tare from the wheat? The commandment was, let them go together until the end of the age. Amen. So, the end of the age upon us, and we want to skip the first 6 parables and go right to the 7th parable, because that is the hour we're living in. We can read in the Word of God many conditions of the church and what would take place. Amen. But it only proves that we can read to do that. We can quote it. Amen. Reading Scripture, quoting Scripture only proves we can read. Or have heard someone quote it. Amen. But knowing where the Savior meant for it to be placed, in what age he meant for it to place, determine whether we got the Holy Ghost and are a true call of God ministry in this hour. There is a ministry in this hour, a fivefold ministry with the Word of God. There is, as the Word of God refers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And the emphasis is not on that at this point in the message. But Paul spoke of the body of Christ as a special something. Paul spoke of the body of Christ as being in unity. Paul spoke of the body of Christ and the ministry of Christ as they all would speak the same thing, all would be in the same mind, all would be in the same accord. Amen. He spoke of it in that manner and laid it out so beautifully. But when we refer to the gospel, we find that there was to be something before this take place. We find there would be a period of time referred to as the kingdom of heaven in the gospel. And this kingdom of heaven period would be a time when God would definitely buy with wheat and tares going together. God would definitely buy with hypocrites and saints sitting side by side. Amen. That is the period of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And the Word of God declares about a woman taking meal and hiding and three measured and so forth. And you just read the 13th chapter. We're not going to deal with that because I do not want to make this sermon long tonight. And I want you to read the Word of God. I want you, as a Christian, to take upon you responsibility to know that it is your responsibility to read the Word of God and seek out the mind of the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Who knoweth the mind of the Spirit? Amen. Those that are filled with the Holy Ghost. All right, now, referring with our same thought, out of the kingdom of heaven comes the body of Christ. Out of the kingdom of heaven comes the body of Christ. Hallelujah. The body of Christ is something special. Now the body of Christ is not the church in its earthly surrounding, what we see as the church today. The body of Christ is an elected number, but in all probability very few, but very powerful. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. And we're living in the hour when the bride is to be put on display. When we are to see something beside the kingdom of heaven. Amen. One brother told me just recently, said, don't worry about hypocrites. Don't worry about people whether they believe the same thing. Don't worry about whether the people in unity did not Jesus say, let them grow together, let them sit together, let them work together and so forth. Sure, he said it, but that was the age of the kingdom of heaven. Which was none other than the seven church ages. Oh, praise God. During this time there was one sitting on the throne. Amen. During this time there was a bloody lamb. And I trust God still is tonight. Amen. When the people sinned and in their ignorance, God just looked at the blood and saw the blood and didn't see their sins. But in this hour we're living in, there is to be a living element of people in this earth that the mercy seat of Christ is to be within. Amen. It is to be the literal, I'm going to say literal. Amen. Because we're a literal being, aren't we? Amen. When you make it up in a many-membered body, it's a mystical body, a spiritual body, but we're literal beings. And there's to be literal ministers in this hour that speaks the same thing, believes the same thing. When we read about the early church, starting on the day of Pentecost, and the next few chapters there, we find a powerful element of people. And in this powerful element of people, they all believe the same thing. They were in one mind and one accord. Amen. And the great grace was upon them, the Bible says. They brought to them all that were sick, and they were healed. And Christ spoke out among them, saying, "Foot, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. You do this, you do that." But when we look at the church in the earth and through the ages, we don't find that. What's the difference? Amen. It's the body of Christ. Oh, thank God for it. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. Out of the kingdom of heaven comes the body of Christ. And may I say this unto you tonight. The kingdom of heaven is a period of time in which you can get into the kingdom of God or get the kingdom of God into you. But the kingdom of heaven is not a period of time as it deals with the church ages, all seven of them, where that a church can come together in one mind and in one accord. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is a definite period of time in which God suffers, amen, along with the people, amen, like he did. He let Cain and Abel live together until Cain was grown and Abel was grown. And Cain rose up and slew Abel, amen. But the next time we see a seed coming into being, which is through self, We find that God separated Cain and sent him into the land of Nod, that he couldn't have part with a true seed. Amen. God is giving another seed in this last day, which is not another, but the same seed restored back again. Amen. Where God is going to require a church to walk upright before Him, just like the early church did, and that is to be the body of Christ. Now let me refer to my subject again. Out of the kingdom of heaven comes the body of Christ. Someone spoke of days gone by when great ministers would live in sin and commit immoral acts, and still the power of God was with them in such ways. Amen. That was a period of time of the kingdom of heaven. But now the seals have been opened, at least in part. When I said the seven seals open, I trust you realize this. It's open to those that have an ear to hear. What did he say when the church age messenger, when the church age, ever church age, when the angel came down? Let him that has an ear to hear, hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Amen. There's somebody that's going to have an ear to hear. Amen. There's to be a separation take place within the kingdom of heaven. To separate you out of the kingdom of heaven, out of the church system, and make you the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. To make you the body of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know that we can be part of Him? I would like for each one of you to read the Corinthians, to read the Ephesians, to read Galatians, to read the Acts of the Apostles, which were the Acts of the Holy Ghost in the Apostles, and see the great works and see the promise of God. And you can see it have not been visible. It has not been in the earth to that extent at no time up till now. Christ come back to His church again. Oh, praise God. Through seven church ages, God has a chosen messenger that brought the word of the Lord. Amen. And God shined the light in part to that age through that chosen messenger. Amen. Until seven church ages has elapsed. If we had the sufficient time and if it was in the outlines of our sermon, and I've only got it outlined in my mind, not on paper. If it were in the outlines of our sermon, we could go to Revelation chapter 1 and show you those seven spirits as they come to earth. Those seven spirits makes up the Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And now the seven spirits have become visible, amen, in the earth. And I didn't make a mistake when I says visible. In 1963, as God's prophet for this age, Reverend William Brown of Jeffersonville, Indiana, were in Tucson, Arizona, seeking the Lord and so forth, obeying a vision they got from God. Seven angels came out of eternity, came down to him, and that was a blast like thunder. When you read in the book of Revelation, you read chapter 6, verse 1, and when the Lamb has opened one of the seals, there was a noise of thunder. One great thundering blast. Seven angels appeared before the prophet of God, signifying the end of the kingdom of heaven age. Amen. And the beginning of the age for the body of Christ to be manifested in the earth. Amen. All through seven church ages, God has been building a body, laying them away in the earth, laying them away in the earth. Every age, God would pick that predestinated seed out, and He would lay them away in the earth. And now all those saints are together waiting for the remainder of the body to be made up. Can you say amen? In the book of Hebrews, the Bible said, without us, they cannot be made perfect. If that is the exact quotation, that does not change the meaning of it if it's not the exact quotation of the Scripture. What is it? They cannot make up that God ordained them to until in the last days the living element of people come into the foreknowledge of Christ. Oh, thank God. Amen. Now I want to read you the seventh parable. And it corresponds with the end time message of the Word of God. We shall begin reading in Matthew 13, verses 47, and we'll probably not read all these scriptures, 47 through 53, I think would be sufficient for that. And this is the end of the age. This is the seventh parable corresponding to the seventh church age. And mind you, as we read this scripture tonight, I want you to notice one thing. It is a direct contradiction of the first parable. It is a direct contradiction of the first parable. You say, how so, Brother Howard? How so? In the first parable, Jesus said this, don't separate them, let them grow together. Don't separate them, don't disturb them. Here in the last parable, he says, separate them, don't let them be together. Which is a direct contradiction, which means one thing, a period of time. And listen at me as I quote this to you. Repeat this statement. Signifying a period of time has been fulfilled. A period of time has been fulfilled. Amen. And we are not going to read the parables. I would like for you to do it at home, because I want to refer to another place here, but we will begin reading in verse 47. It says, and again, the kingdom of heaven, notice what it is, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered in every kind. That's what God wanted in all the other ages. Let every kind grow together. Don't disturb them. If you disturb one of those tares, you might disturb a wheat. But in this hour, the wheat has revelation. And you don't disturb the wheat when you pull a tare out. Amen. It only makes the wheat come to maturity quicker. Amen. But notice here, he refers it over and over in different manners. But here, the kingdom of heaven is like a great evangelistical effect. And I'm going to word it like this because it isn't changing the meaning of the scripture. As a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, called to preach the end time gospel, I say this does not change the meaning of it to say the kingdom of heaven in the last church age is like a great evangelistical thing, where God anoints special men and they go out and win tens and tens and tens of thousands. And the whole world is shaken under the mighty impact of a revival. That is a net that God threw on the earth through all the great ministries in it. Draw them in. Amen. But watch what the Holy Spirit says after the great evangelistical age is over. We got wheat, we got tares, we got frogs, we got snakes, we got tadpoles. We got a little serpent and whatever in the net. But those cannot make up the body of Christ. Those cannot make up the body of Christ, but out of this will come the body of Christ. As he pulls the snakes, the tadpoles, and all that in, there's some fish. There's some fish. And those fish, they don't go back out into the world. Those fish, amen, they're put in the basket, which is the Word. Now listen as we read further. All right, referring back again to verse 7 to catch my thought again. And the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Every kind, every kind, every kind, every kind, every kind, every Tom, Dick, and Harry, whoever, every kind, gathered into the church. Absolutely. Absolutely. They were gathered into the kingdom of heaven. Not into the body of Christ. There is a distinct difference between the kingdom of heaven and the body of Christ. Out of the kingdom of heaven comes the body of Christ. All right, gathered in every kind. All right, when it was full, they drew to shore. Amen. They drew them in. Now watch what happened when they drew them in. And they sat down. Now we can make a controversial point out of that one there, but I don't intend to tonight. They drew the net to shore and they sat down. You mean the preachers quit preaching, Brother Howland? No, but they quit casting the net into the sea to that extent. Oh, I want you to notice that again. When they drew to shore, they sat down. They sat down. Signifying a definite change in the order of the ministry and the way that God would choose to evangelize the world. Out of the kingdom of heaven comes the body of Christ. The body of Christ receives teaching. The body of Christ receives instruction. The body of Christ received the fullness of the Holy Ghost. They drew them to shore and they sat down. Where's all the big evangelists today that was burning up the field a few years ago? Where are they? Where's Oral Roberts? One time preached to thousands and thousands, just combed the earth out and back, out and back. Jaggers. Jack Cole, preaching to tens of thousands, just combing the earth out and back, around and around the world, pulling in tens of thousands into the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven age was still going. Revelation chapter 5 shows a definite change in God's working. They drew to shore and they sat down. And when they sat down, something began to take place that would contradict the first parable that Jesus spoke. Something took place that would contradict the first parable that Jesus spoke, because he said, let them grow together. Let them stay together. Don't disturb them. Let them grow. Let them have a church full. Let them have a big program. Let them have a missionary program and send missionaries around the world. Let them have all the works of man, the works of the church. But at the end time, mind you, friend, it will be different. Direction will come from the throne of God, from the heart of Christ. Amen. Not from a headquarters somewhere. Not from a denominational system. Amen. God the command will send forth in the earth to set down and clean up the church. The body of Christ. You cannot read, and I am going to say this even at the risk of sounding repetitious, because I want a point to sink deep, deep, deep in your mind and in your heart. You cannot find a church after the early age that would correspond to what Paul said about the body of Christ in the Corinthians. In the 11th and the 12th chapter, which we shall read some of tonight, the Lord willing. There has never been a church that would correspond to that. But it is in the Word and it will be fulfilled. It's the blueprint. The blueprint will be materialized. Hallelujah. The body of Christ will be in the earth. Amen. Are you willing to line up behind Jesus Christ and the workings of the Lord? Are you willing to change from your old set ideals of what the church should be like? Or what it is? and come to what God's doing in this hour. A new thing, a new day. God's moving, He's doing, He's having, He is going to have a body in the earth. Not a church system with tares and wheats. How's God going to do it? By His Spirit, working through the ministry. Ever how He does it, I want to line up. And mind you, let me remind you of this, I do not have a handbook that would give you a step-by-step dialogue in what God will do in the future. The only step-by-step thing I can tell you to do is as is recorded in Romans 8. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. However God does it, I want to be led by the Spirit. I cannot tell you what will be 6 weeks from now, 6 months from now, 6 minutes from now, as far as that part goes. But if we're led by the Spirit of God, we're the sons of God. Amen. God said in His Word, there will be a body in the earth. There will be a church without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing, and it will be the body of Christ. That's what I hold to, and that alone. Now I'll finish my parable and refer to another place. When the net was full, in verse 48, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels. How do they do that, Brother Howland? They preach a revelated gospel that only the revelated people can see. And they take that revelated gospel that's preached that the church in general cannot understand, and they go right into the Word, into the body of Christ, and become that part of the Word for the hour, put into the vessels. And those that cannot do it, and I am not the one to determine who does and who don't. God determined that before the world was. Amen. And I certainly don't want the job of trying to figure out whose name's on the Lamb Book of Life and who isn't. I don't know. Amen. But I'll guarantee you one thing. He knows everyone. He knows everyone. He knows everyone. And Jesus said, He'll not lose a one of them. He'll not lose a one. Amen. The road may be hard. The road may be rough. You may have severe trials, temptation, testings. But if your name's in the Lamb Book of Life, amen, ordained to be part of the bride, the Spirit of the Lord will keep on dealing with your heart and leading you and guiding you into all the truth of the Word of God. All right, He gathered the good into the vessel. Now that means there is a separation. How many sees that? When will it be only at the end of the seven parable kingdom of heaven age? Not the first parable, not the second, not any of the other age, but at the end of the age there is to be a distinct message that will cause the world to wake up. And I said the world. You said, Brother Howard, what do you get that the world will wake up? The effects of the gospel and the pulling in of the net will correspond to Matthew 25, where it says, at the midnight hour, there was a cry made, go ye out to meet him, and all, A-double-L, both wise and foolish, knew by what God has done in the earth that the coming of the Lord's at hand. They all rose up, amen, but some couldn't come into the Word. Amen. When they pulled them into church and began to try to teach the Word, you know what? Some were tadpoles. Some were snakes. Some were wolves that had on cheap clothing. Amen. And only the Word can discern. I can't. You could be a wolf. I can't discern it. You can be a snake. I can't tell the difference from a fish. You can be a tadpole. I don't know the difference. Amen. But the Word of God declares in Hebrews chapter 4 and 12 that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sin of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought, and even shows the intent of the heart. There's your separator. Christ Himself, the Word, come to the church again. Amen. Amen. I can preach this Word of God. And you can say, Brother Howard's a man of God. But only Christ can give that revelation. Only Christ can give that revelation. Only Christ can give that revelation. And Christ is the one to lead the church. Only Christ can tell you whether I am a man of God or whether I'm not. And at the end of the age, the separation will be definite and distinct. Be definite and distinct. The distinction will become very plain before the bride leaves the earth. Those that are in the bride, amen, that come out of the kingdom of heaven into the body of Christ will be a distinct thing from the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven, Brother Howard? Church ages, church ages, church ages, church ages. Church ages at the end, God does a new thing and closes out an age. All right, I want to read further. And gathered in every kind, which when it was full, they said that good ashore and sit down, gathered the good into the vessel. But what did they do with the bad? They cast the bad away. 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 How do it do it? Well, the services. Well, let me say this. In the days of St. Peter, the earliest of the apostles, God has a distinct way to clean the church up. Ananias and Sapphira, in chapter 5 of the book of Acts, came up to St. Peter, a messenger of God, and said, we've sold our land, we've done like all the other people, we've brought the money, this is what we got for it. Lying to the Holy Ghost. They fell dead at the foot of that apostle. You say, will it repeat, Brother Howard? I have not the foggiest idea. I have not the foggiest idea. I do not know. It's in the mind of God. All I know is this. The job will be done. The job will be done. The separation will be complete. How God does it? It's all in the mind of God and was there before the world began. All right, the bad separates himself. So shall it be at the end of the world. When? Not the first church age, not the second, not the third, not the fourth, not the fifth, not the sixth. Amen. And not even the most of the seventh, but at the end of the world. At the end of the world, the kingdom of heaven, the working of God will be like this. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. You say, well, I get bored at messages like this. Amen. Not enough dancing, not enough shouting, not enough speaking in tongues. God takes care of the dancing. He takes care of the shouting. He takes care of the speaking in tongues. And He takes care of getting His Word to the people. It's not my responsibility. It's God's. It's God's. It's God's. If you want to use a mule to preach to us, God's business. He did in the Bible, didn't He? How many believe that? Sure He did. Amen. One time He used a mule to preach the gospel. So Balaam. So God doesn't have to have big flower things to get the word. When His time comes, He gets it out. He gets the job done. It's complete. Amen. I can sit down. I can do nothing. The job will go on. Christ will go on. He doesn't need me at all. He doesn't need me at all. He doesn't need me at all to get His word out. He doesn't need you at all. He just needs those that's ordained before the world. And if I happen to be in that number, praise God for it. But everything that Christ leads you by the Holy Spirit to do, it will succeed. It will succeed. It will succeed. Amen. You may have to do like Abraham, wait 25 years to see the promise fulfilled. But God will fulfill that promise of God. He'll fulfill that promise. He says, I'll give you a church without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. He's given Christ the church. He's going to succeed. He's going to succeed. He's going to succeed. Abraham had many trials. He faltered many times and come short in many areas. But when the time, fullness of time come, Isaac was born. Oh, praise God. That Jewish nation went out of the homeland many times. They didn't keep the promise of God. They didn't keep the word of God. They faltered and failed, and God had to rebuke them over and over, punish them many times. But when the fullness of time came, those prophecies that that nation was pregnant with brought forth Jesus Christ. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem them that were under law. Amen. Job said, all of my days will I wait till my appointed time. Amen. Though the skin worms devour this flesh that I'm living in, yet in my flesh I'll seek God again. God's a restoring God. He'll restore the body. Amen. Amen. All right. There is one body. This is Ephesians 4 and 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called and one hope of your calling. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. Now, nowhere in the kingdom of age, kingdom of heaven age, after it left the early church setting, could you say there's one faith. That was the Catholic faith. That was Dissent's faith. That was that faith. That was all kind of faith. To today, I believe there's 400 and something Protestant organizations. 400 and something faiths, but do the Bible change? There's still one faith. One Lord. One body. Amen. One God. And the Father of us all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended on high, he led captive captains, gave gifts unto men, gave gifts unto men. He said, what does that mean, Brother Howard, where he ascended on high and led captive captives? It means those Old Testament saints that he brought up with him. Amen. That was seen walking around, oh, here on earth, how many days? 30 or 40 days or something, I don't even know. It doesn't matter anyway. Praise God, I don't think the Bible even says. But anyway, they were seen walking around. They went into the city. But I can pretty much predict how long they stayed. There's a scripture that says Jesus was seen 40 days and nights, and he went first. He let them in. So evidently they stayed about 40 days. Praise God, and he led them into the paradise of Almighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, he led captive captives. Who are those captives? Those that were waiting for Jesus Christ to come to redeem them. Those that Satan had the key to keep them locked up in the prison house. He came and said, Satan, give me the key. The great conqueror ripped the key from the side of Satan and brought forth those Old Testament saints in the Senate on high with him. But he gave the church gifts. He gave the ministry that he had back to the church again. He gave the ministry that he had back to the church. How did he give it? Amen. Now he that ascended, what is it? But he descended first into the lower parts of the earth to get the old saints out. He that descended is the same that ascended far above the heavens. They fill all in all. And in that verse 10 is a great revelation of the Godhead. Amen. The same one that ascended was the one that descended into the Virgin Mary. Oh, praise be to God. One God, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right. And verse 11, the favorite scripture of mine in the entire Bible. And the church, you have heard it over and over again. You've heard it. But if you're the seed of God, you're going to see it right before your wandering eyes. A ministry that God's ordained that will slay the giant, bring victory to the church. Amen. Don't matter how many forerunners, how many tries to mess up God's program, you'll see it right before your wondering eyes. A church in God's time. Come forth, be the body of Christ. Amen. Everything you can manufacture, it'll be like Cain. It'll fail. If you would excuse the illustration I'll refer to Hebrews 12. And I don't like to use strong statement like the Apostle Paul used, but sometimes I do. Paul said everyone that couldn't believe the word, couldn't stand the chastening of the Lord, were bastard born children. Hebrews 12, I believe, or is it Hebrews 13? Read both chapters, be good for you. Amen. Alright, verse 11 here says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of the faith. Till we all come into unity of the faith. Till we all come into unity of the faith. Everyone! How are they going to do it? Christ is mine. They're going to be in the church again this last day. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Till we all come into unity of faith. Till the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You believe a church can come to that? Be Jesus Christ again in the earth. Right, amounting to the fullness of what Jesus Christ was. And what Jesus Christ is. Hebrews 13 and 8 says Jesus Christ is same yesterday, today, and forever. But we're not in the kingdom of heaven age. We're in the age of the body of Christ. When all things are being made new again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel him tonight. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. I've seen people tossed to and fro with different teaching. But Paul said, listen to what I'm telling you, knowing from whom you learnt them. And I'll tell you tonight, church, according to the revelation of St. Paul, the great apostle, it's important to know from whom you learnt these things. Who'd you learn them from? Christ ministers grace to the hearer through the ministry. Amen. The Bible says this, let your conversation be seasoned with pepper. That it may minister wrath to the hearer. No, that's what I said. Let your conversation be seasoned with salt, that it may minister grace to the hearer. That it may minister grace to the hearer. The Word of God's right, friends. The Word of God's right. All right. Let me get verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunningly crafted, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in hatred and malice and anger. You may be belittled till you become nothing but the laughing stock of the world. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say that. Amen, but it says speaking the truth in love. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him, and God is love. Into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joins together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The body has got to edify itself in love. This last day, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, that you're God, that you're moving, that you have a body. That out of the kingdom of heaven ages to come the body of Christ in the last days that manifests and show the world the love of God, the Word of God, the plan of God. When it's too late for the foolish virgin to get the oil, the move will be mighty, Lord, according to your word. But we thank you for including us in your plan and in the mind of Christ in the last days. Father, may you bless these comments that we've made tonight. May there not be one goes out of here misunderstanding, Lord. May you, by the Holy Spirit, give each one understanding that I may understand and know and hear the word of the Lord. May you speak to them, Lord. Lord, this vessel is unworthy to speak, but may you, by the Holy Spirit, speak. And may they hear your cry in the depths of their heart, and realize we're at the end of the age. Out of the kingdom of heaven comes the body of Christ. It's to be manifested in this last day. Lord, you've opened the seals. You've opened the book of redemption. You've cleared away the mysteries, Lord. Oh, and now you're bringing the body together. Father, as Michael said that day, or the archangel, one of the mighty angels, as is recorded in the book of Jude, concerning Satan and his plan to disrupt and wreck what God's doing, said even the archangel didn't bring a written accusation against Satan, but says, the Lord rebuke thee. Father, may we just say, let the Lord do it. Let God do it. Let me be led by the Spirit. Lord, it's your work. It's your plan. It's your word. And all the forces of the enemy that would hinder and beset your plan, Lord, you rebuke the forces of the enemy, Father. And may we stand as your servants, Lord, ready to do thy will, Father. And may we press forward. And Father, may we be a blessing to your bride. May you put the love of God in our heart. May our sermons be seasoned with salt, that it may minister grace to the hearer, Lord. May your bride grow up in you, Lord, filled with the love of God, filled with compassion. May they see now it's no more church age, it's no more kingdom of heaven age, but it's the body of Christ age. Oh God, when you're making of a body, and the Holy Spirit's the only one that can call us into that body, man can't put us there. Man can't take us out. All of our fussing and arguing and fighting wouldn't put anybody in or take anybody out. Father, it's you. May you give that wisdom to those that stand in the ranks of leadership, Father, that we may know it's the great God that's moving, not man. Father, give us the wisdom that's needed now to press forward, to make another move in the gospel of Christ, Father. May you just bless and lead each one. May you convict hearts if there's any lost here tonight, God. May they see we're not anymore in the church like we was years ago, but we're in a time when you're making up your jewel. And you said you'd make a book of remembrance, and when you made up your jewel, you'd not forget them, Lord. Don't forget a one of us, Father, we pray tonight. Help us, Lord. We're standing in need of thee. Their need of a touch from the Holy Spirit, a move of God. We thank you now for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.